Today on More to Life, betrayed. Has someone you care about let you down? This Spy Wednesday, we'll explore ways to respond to and heal from betrayal. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, betrayed. This is Spy Wednesday of Holy Week. It's the day when we traditionally read the readings of Judas' betrayal of Jesus. And so every year at this time, we take a look at the betrayals we experience in our own lives, big and small. 877-573-7825. Has someone you care about let you down, hurt you, or even betrayed you in some way? Maybe a friend was talking about you behind your back, or a family member is taking advantage of you or has hurt you in some way. Maybe your spouse was hiding something from you or betrayed you in some serious way. Whatever the issue is, you're probably trying to figure out whether you can trust them again, or if the relationship can be healed, or if you should even try. We want to help you find grace-filled ways to respond and heal from betrayal. 877-573-7825.
I think this is such an interesting topic to look at today as we look at Judas's betrayal of Jesus. Because I know as I was coming back to my faith as a teenager, and I will say many times during my adulthood, knowing that Jesus went through the pain of having someone who walked with him day in and day out betray him was often a consolation to me to know that my God loved me enough to go through that kind of pain and understood the pain that I was going through. And it was very, very much a balm to my heart. But I will say the difference here, and the reason it's important to discuss this topic today, is because of the fact that Jesus was both fully human and fully divine, he knew what was coming. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. And he knew that that betrayal was part of his mission here on earth to redeem us, to save us from our sins. For most of us, because we're certainly not fully divine, betrayal often comes as a shock, usually a very great shock. We wouldn't feel betrayed if we weren't invested in a relationship with someone, if we hadn't put at least a decent amount of trust in that person and being in relationship with that person. And so when we, as people who are unaware human beings, get betrayed by someone we care about, that does leave us with so many questions. Not just the pain of the betrayal, which is piercing, but also the fear of ever trusting anyone again. The going around in circles in our minds, blaming ourselves for, why didn't we see it? Why did we trust this person? What's wrong with us that they would betray us in this way? Satan loves to get into our heads and make it all about it being our fault in some way. Can we repair the relationship? As you were saying, Greg, there are so many questions mixed up with the pain. But there are ways to start trusting ourselves again, knowing if we can trust other people better in the future, figuring out how to heal, and we want to be able to help you do all of that today, right here on More to Life. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And of course, we're talking about big and small betrayals. So for example, you know, that friend who is talking about you behind your back, or that person you feel is taking advantage of you, or those larger betrayals like, you know, a spouse hiding something from you. Whatever that sense of betrayal is coming from, we want to help you figure out what to do next, how to heal your own heart, how to evaluate whether it's safe to trust again or repair the relationship, and discover what it takes to do all of that today on More to Life, on our show titled Betrayed, as we commemorate this Spy Wednesday of Holy Week. 877-573-7825. Once again, that number, 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might be wondering, well, what is that? Why should I care? And what could it possibly have to do with helping me recover from somebody hurting me and betraying me and letting me down? Glad you asked. So, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, gave a series of reflections that looked at how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design and creation, especially of our bodies, and the way he works with us through salvation history.
The theology of the body reminds us that we were created for communion, but lies, even little lies, undermine our trust, that then all the trust that's necessary for building a community of love. In a sense, betrayals break the bones that hold the body of Christ together. We need to take the process of healing those breaks very seriously. If we don't, we can end up in a relationship that's full of hairline fractures that the enemy can use to create more pain down the road. Healing broken trust requires three basic steps. First, the person who committed the offense has to be willing to listen to what you need them to do to heal the wounds that they have caused. They need to be able to acknowledge the pain they caused, accept responsibility for what they've done, and make it clear that they want to work hard to heal the damage their actions have caused. Asking them to do these things isn't refusing to forgive them. It's what authentic forgiveness and healing requires.
So second, assuming the offender is sincere in their efforts to heal the wound, the person who was hurt needs to be open to working with the offender to facilitate that process. And sometimes that's really hard because we feel like we should just be able to say, it's your job to fix it, and then walk away. But reconciliation requires everyone involved to be committed to the process. Third, and finally, both people need to accept that there aren't any shortcuts to healing a broken bone. Asking for and receiving forgiveness is really just the first step on the road back from betrayal. The actual healing of the break is going to take ongoing conscious effort, you know, and patience, persistence, and honesty. You know, both the offender and the offended need to have a realistic understanding of the process of reconciliation after betrayal and resist the temptation to make it harder than it needs to be, or, for that matter, pretend that it's easier than it is. And if you're wondering what that looks like for you, let's work it out together and help you find grace-filled ways to respond to and heal from those ways the people in your life have let you down, disappointed you, or even betrayed you. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Again, on this Spy Wednesday, our show is titled Betrayal, as we look at the ways that the people in our lives sometimes let us down and how to recover from that. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you know the incredible pain of betrayal when Judas literally sold you out for 30 pieces of silver. But you were able to not just respond to that, but become victorious in the face of that betrayal. And we ask you now, Lord, for the grace to know how to respond to those letdowns, disappointments, and betrayals in our own lives. Help us to know that you are walking with us in those times when our hearts are broken. And help us to respond to those situations in ways that enable us to be our best selves. Invite the person who hurt us to be their best selves. And cooperate with your grace to heal and seek reconciliation wherever it's possible. Thank you for showing us the path to healing after betrayal. We ask you for the grace to follow your example so that even in the face of these hurts, we can build your kingdom. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Betrayed, as we commemorate this Spy Wednesday, the day when we read the story of Judas's betrayal of Jesus. We're reflecting on the times when the people in our life have let us down, disappointed us, or betrayed us in big or small ways. 877-573-7825.
Greg, we have an email here from a listener who would like to remain anonymous. They just ask us to call them M. It says, Dear Dr. Greg and Lisa, I'm uncertain about how to handle a small situation that seems like it's gaining steam, and may soon be a big situation. How should I proceed with a spouse who is increasingly dropping clues that they are upset about the current political situation in our country, and that they are angry and upset with me over their perception of my political loyalties and allegiances and how I may have voted in this election? They've said that they feel that I have betrayed them and betrayed what's good for our country. So far, generally, this takes the form of an exclamation or a barb about perceived crises in the country, with the seeming insinuation that I support or am responsible for the perceived crisis in some way. There is a history with this person seemingly blaming others for their problems. I don't think I would get far with any discussion about the situation, although explaining my perspective is very tempting. How can I best diffuse things when this happens and perhaps slowly help this person let go of some of their anger? I certainly don't want them to feel betrayed by the fact that we may have political differences, but I'm very confused as to what to do. And that is M.
So I just want to clarify, you kept reading this person, it's his wife, right?
We don't know if this is a man or a woman, it's anonymous.
It's their spouse.
And it says their spouse, okay. So that's why I believe they use that kind
of
language.
Thank you.
Because they want to remain anonymous.
All right, I just want to be clear that I didn't miss something. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's...
So where this dynamic exists, I mean, and there are very real, you know, obviously we see the politics dividing everyone these days, right? I mean, this is not an uncommon problem. But that said, in marriage, it's a little less common. And it speaks to a couple of things. First, it speaks to a failure of basic respect in the relationship, and I'll talk to that more in a minute. And secondly, it speaks to a lack of a sense of togetherness in all the other areas of the relationship.
Now, I think you just perked up a lot of ears and eyebrows when you said that.
Well, I mean, couples can have political differences, but that shouldn't be the most important part of their relationship. They should be able to have enough in common, enough experiences in common, enough of a sense that they are taking care of each other, that they can see that their spouse is coming from a good place, even if they disagree politically. The fact that that's not here says to me that you don't have the relationship in general that you need to have. And secondly, when I mentioned the idea of respect, you know, as regular listeners know, respect isn't just about being nice to each other. It's about trying hard to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty in the things that each other finds true, good, and beautiful. And where there's a failure of respect in any relationship, what happens is I can't see the value in things that you appreciate if I don't appreciate them. And so you kind of have a failure on both of these areas, which goes much deeper than the political differences between the two of you. In fact, I think the political differences are a proxy fight. You know, they're the fight that's safe to have when there are much deeper issues in the marriage that need to be addressed that you're afraid to fight about. You know, this is not striking me. It doesn't strike me that you guys are a couple that, for example, prays together every day about God helping you have the marriage that he wants you to have and be the spouses to each other that he wants you to be. It doesn't seem to me that you guys are a couple that talks to each other directly about your thoughts, your hopes, your dreams, your feelings, that this is, you know, that you're afraid to express your thoughts about these political things because you don't know how she's going to take it,
or
afraid she's
going to this is, yeah.
And you know, that says to me that you don't talk on a level that a couple ought to be talking on regularly, not just about politics, but really about anything.
You don't seem to have a closeness that says we've built good memories together. We have fun together. We do things that we engage in that draw us closer together in terms of volunteering or doing things socially with one another, going on dates with one another. There's a lack of rapport that one spouse to turn so hard on the other over the fact that their spouse may have contributed, because you're saying, you know, they're not even sure, may have contributed one vote in a direction that the other spouse is uncomfortable about, says so much more about the fact that they don't feel close and connected to you in every other area of your life.
So what to do? What I would suggest that you do is that you say to your spouse, you know, I feel like there has been an even exaggerated distance between us or tension between us since the election. But I don't think it's about politics. I think it's about the fact that we aren't relating to each other the way husbands and wives should. And we don't have as deep a relationship as we ought to have. And I'd really like to work with you to help you feel more taken care of, more valued, more respected, to be comfortable being more open with me, and for us to be more open with each other. And I'd really like to look at what that would be. And, you know, and so a couple of resources for you. There's a program called, Marriage Encounter, which is a wonderful organization. It's a weekend retreat for couples where they can learn to have better communication skills. It doesn't replace counseling, but it just gives you basic training in how to really speak to and listen to and hear each other. I'd recommend starting there. Another great resource, my book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, which looks at 8 habits that healthy couples practice that any couple could learn. There's a chapter that has an extensive quiz that you guys can both take and identify the strengths and areas for growth in your relationship, and then work through the book in a little bit. So you read a chapter a day, for instance, and pray through it. You know, and if you're not sure how to pray through it, we can call us here and ask those questions. We have another book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, which walks couples through couple prayer and how to really do that. But even just start now, every day. You know, if she's not sure, your wife or your spouse, whoever it is not willing to join you actively, then you pray with your spouse and just say, Lord, you know, please help us to be the couple that you want us to be. And help us to have the marriage that you want us to have. Help us to figure out how to respond to these different problems that we have. And here's the most important part. And help us to take care of each other while we learn to do that. Start with that prayer. Start with these resources. And reframe the problem not as a political issue, but as a deeper issue related to the intimacy and respect that's been lacking in your relationship for quite some time. And if there's more that we can do to support you personally, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can help you find faithful ways to build the marriage that God wants you to have, the Church tells you you can have, and that you're clearly longing for. You can learn more at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can also pick up that book I mentioned, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. With that, we have to go to break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show today titled Betrayed. As we commemorate this Spy Wednesday, we're talking about the ways that people have let us down, disappointed us, or betrayed us. And we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Plus, we'll be joined by Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder and director of the National Catholic Singles Conference. She'll be sharing some insights from the theology of the body on healing from betrayal. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian prayer series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled Betrayed as we commemorate this Spy Wednesday, the day that Judas betrayed Jesus. We're talking about those times when the people in our life let us down, betray us in some way. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder and director of the National Catholic Singles Conference. She's an expert on the theology of the body. Anastasia, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
So you wanted to share some insights from the readings, the gospel readings, that the Byzantine Church reflects on on this day.
Yes, well, I was thinking, you know, Lisa, you were talking about Judas and the whole aspect of, he was one of Jesus' disciples, and to be betrayed by somebody so close to you. And in the Byzantine Church, they have some hymns that reflect the contrast of the harlot who anointed Jesus' feet with Judas, and talking about how she rejoiced to pour out the most precious perfume while he hastened to sell the one who is beyond price. And so I was thinking about, she has this generosity and this repentance of her own sins already. And it says that she was set free while Judas became enslaved to the enemy. And the other point that one of the hymns makes is that jealousy does not know how to seek what is good. And so in thinking about this, I'm thinking, here's Judas who's like tempted. We don't know all the reasons why he wanted to do this, but, jealousy or envy or greed, these different things, he's not able to see the good. Whereas the sinful woman, she, saw her sinfulness and saw the goodness of Jesus, and then started to just offer this beautiful perfume and wipe his feet with her hair, and wash them with her tears. And so just thinking from the perspective either of somebody who has been betrayed, I've certainly been in that situation myself, or if you realize, I've hurt somebody, I've betrayed them, then, what can we do to repent and to help to let God heal that wound, and to see, what was behind this? Why did I do this to this person? Or why did I allow myself to fall into that? So these were some of the thoughts that were coming to mind myself, you know, in reflecting on this big day during the Holy Week.
And I think that, you know, in the images that you kind of hold up, you see a contrast between Judas, who falls into despair, and, you know, the harlot, as you said, who basically uses the steps we talked about in our reflection at the beginning of the show, where she recognizes the pain that her actions have caused, that she accepts responsibility for what she's done, and she does what she can to try to show Jesus how sorry she is for the things that she's done and her willingness and her desire to amend her life. It's a very different process, and I think it provides a beautiful model then for all of us to know what to look for in somebody who has betrayed us and how to behave when we let other people down and sometimes betray them because of our own limitations. And I want to thank you for highlighting that those two images on this Spy Wednesday. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to go to nationalcatholicsingles.com. That's the website, right? I sometimes forget. National Catholic Singles?
Yep.
Yeah, nationalcatholicsingles.com to learn more about the National Catholic Singles Conference and about the resources that you offer to Catholic singles throughout the year as well. Anastasia, I hope you have a blessed Holy Week and a very happy Easter. Thanks again for joining us.
Likewise. Thank you.
And we are taking your calls today on our show titled Betrayed. We're commemorating this Spy Wednesday, the day where we reflect on the readings in the gospel of Judas's betrayal of Jesus. Has someone you care about let you down, hurt you, or even betrayed you in some way? Maybe a friend was talking about you behind your back, or a family member has taken advantage of you, or your spouse has let you down in some significant way. We want to help you figure out how to heal and evaluate the next steps in reconciling, if possible. 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
What will eternal happiness, beatitude, be like? St. Augustine has a pleasant description. There we shall rest and see, we shall see and love, we shall love and praise. What will be at the end without end? For what other end do we have, if not to reach the kingdom which has no end? The Catechism tells us, God put us in the world to know, to love, and to serve Him, and be with Him forever in heaven. The Beatitudes present us with clear moral choices. We are invited to avoid evil, to purify our hearts of evil, and to love God above all earthly things, none of which can bring lasting happiness. Lasting happiness can be found only in God, who is the source of every good and all love. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Do you need to have an important conversation with someone? Here's a tip. Do twice as much listening as talking. Don't do it as a technique. Listen because you're genuinely interested in what the other person thinks, what motivates them, and what their goals, concerns, and needs are. Successful conversationalists may not agree with everything the other people say, but they're careful not to rush to judgment. They ask questions. They show real care and concern. They look for points of agreement to build on. They don't try to change the person they're speaking with, but they do look for ways to be a positive influence while deepening the relationship. Christians call this approach accompaniment. To learn more about being an effective listener, especially when it comes to building a better relationship with your adult kids, check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Betrayed, as we commemorate this Spy Wednesday, the day that Judas betrays Jesus, as we reflect on the times when people in our lives have let us down in big and small ways. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Before we take more questions today, we want you to know that if you're listening in Illinois or Wisconsin, your EWTN radio station needs to hear from you next week. Catholic Spirit Radio Network will be airing their Spring Carathon on their 10 stations starting Tuesday.
The theme is Opening the Doors of Hope, Leaving a Legacy. So, if you're listening in Illinois, Wisconsin, or wherever you are tuning into EWTN Radio, make sure you are supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station, certainly with your prayers, but with your dollars as well, so that EWTN can keep being here to support you in living a more joyful, faithful, and abundant life.
And you can keep creating that beautiful Catholic community in your local area and feeding your soul and mind every day.
Amen. And, you know, before we go to our next question, you know, I was on Marcus's show yesterday.
Marcus Peter yesterday,
on Ave Maria in the afternoon. And we were talking about families in Holy Week and how to bring our kids to Mass, how to really celebrate this Holy Week at home as well. And I just wanted to mention that we have several resources on the Catholic HOM app to allow families to really experience this Holy Week at home. And lots of great suggestions there. We've got a great discussion going on with our membership about things that families do to celebrate Easter in their and the Holy Week in their homes. The downloadable activities, we've got Stations of the Cross that you can do at home using kid-friendly art that's very reverent but still very accessible to kids, where you can do the Stations of the Cross at home. We have other activities in our Lenten activity kit that we have there.
They're very easy, not going to add to the burden of parents during this very busy week. And we have a full series of things to celebrate the Easter octave at home with your family. So it doesn't just become Mass, Easter dinner, and then it's all over. It's really about letting your children know the brilliance of the Easter season.
Plus, if you've got questions about how to help your kids navigate the various liturgies of Holy Week, we've got a great discussion going on in our questions and coaching channel on the Catholic HOM app. So, you know, to get all the support you need all year round to build a more loving, caring, connected Catholic family life, subscribe to the Catholic HOM app today. You can get daily coaching for parenting issues, family issues, living your faith at home, marriage questions. Lisa and I are on there, and our whole team of pastoral counselors are on there, interacting with subscribers every day, taking your questions, providing that coaching, and giving you creative resources to help you be the Catholic family that God's calling you to be. So subscribe to the Catholic HOM app today, wherever you get your apps. We hope to see you there. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Betrayed, as we commemorate this Spy Wednesday. That's what we call this day of Holy Week, where we reflect on the readings where Judas betrays Jesus. Has someone in your life let you down, hurt you, or even betrayed you in some way? Maybe it's something simple, like a friend, you know, talking about you behind your back. I mean, that's simple, but it's still really hurtful.
Really painful.
Or a family member has taken advantage of you in some way or hurt you. Or your spouse has been hiding something from you. Are you trying to figure out whether you can trust that person again? Whether the relationship can be healed, or should you even try? Wherever you're at in that process, let us help you find grace-filled ways to respond to and heal from betrayal today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. 7825.
Greg, we have a question here from Donna, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio, and she has a question on how to help her sister. She said, my sister's husband recently left her for another woman. My sister has two children under four, and he left her for a 19-year-old. She is devastated. She is a stay-at-home mom, and she's not sure what to do now, but I don't know how to help her deal with her mindset. She has been blaming herself that he left and is saying, if only I had been, and Diane Point does the dot, 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 so she's filling things in her own head here, he wouldn't have cheated and left. I don't know what to do to help her get out of this mindset and even start to heal. Do you have any suggestions? And that's Diane in Michigan.
Well, Diane, thank you for the question. I'm sorry, this is her sister?
Her sister and the husband left for a 19-year-old.
That's just so painful, and I'm glad that you're able to be there for your sister in this difficult time. You know, I think you can certainly reassure your sister that it's not her fault, but unfortunately, she's not going to be in a place to hear that. I think that when a bad thing happens, we have a tendency to blame ourselves for it, and some people more than others, based on kind of our attachment wounds. There's something called an anxious attachment style that has to do with the tendency to hold ourselves responsible when other people don't love us the way we deserve to be loved. And we blame ourselves rather than being able to say that person committed an offense against me. We look at ourselves and say, well, if I could have been this, or if I could have just done that, or if I could have just twisted myself into these knots, then I would have been deserving of the love that I want from this person.
And in a lot of ways, it's our mind's response to trying to feel in control again. You know, if I had done A, B, and C, this person wouldn't have done this to me, which the underlying message from in our brain is, so I won't let it happen again because I'll be in control, I'll do these other things. And it just becomes this soup of toxicity because it's just not taking into account that other people are sinners and do stuff, and it's not necessarily our fault.
So until she's able to address that deeper wound, she's going to tend to hold on to this this idea that it's her fault, as a way of kind of weirdly protecting herself from the pain of what she's going through. So the best thing that you can do is be a shoulder for her to cry on. You can be certainly praying for her and with her if she's open to that, but also recommending good, faithful resources that she can turn to get the support that she needs to heal these deeper wounds. So, for instance, if you would like to suggest that she contact us at CatholicCounselors.com, we would be happy to work with her and help her through this. These are things that we do regularly within the practice, and the kind of situation that we work well with in helping people like your sister really understand what's going on, how to respond to it in a strong and confident way so she can reclaim her identity as that strong, prophetic, beloved daughter of God in the face of all of this, and really see how God loves her and how he wants her to respond to this painful situation. By giving her that resource and really encouraging her to reach out to the people that can help her, that's the best way you can support her, in addition, as I said, to being that shoulder to cry on, praying for her and praying with her. Thank you so much for the question, Diane. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with our next caller, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
Listener from Nebraska, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi. I am ending a 15-year marriage. My husband had an affair, multiple affairs, and we have two beautiful children together. My daughter is 10, and she knows in an age-appropriate way what has happened, and she's really struggling with feeling betrayed. She's angry. She's disgusted. She's very sad and scared, but she still loves her dad. And I'm just struggling with how I can help her navigate all of those feelings.
Sure.
He is somebody who doesn't acknowledge the pain that he's caused. He just isn't the type of person who can see that or see have any remorse for what he's done, unfortunately.
And that's, when you say that, is that something that, that is recent, related to this, to, well, to the discovery of the affairs, or is this something that, that, you know, he's, he never takes responsibility for things and doesn't tend to express remorse in general?
Yeah, it's kind of been a theme in our marriage that there's not a lot of accountability. He's not willing to do that, and certainly in this situation, there's been not, there's been no accountability.
Okay.
And the affair was discovered in February, so it's all quite fresh.
I understand. And this, and you, as you said, he was a serial cheater. This is more than once.
I believe so. Yes, it definitely was more than once. I wasn't aware of that, though, until February.
Sure, I understand. And so, again, the question is how to help your daughter process all this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Along with myself.
Yeah, well, sure, of course, of course. But you know, as I was saying to our previous question from Diane, you know, I think it's really important that you get good, faithful, professional support through this. And so I'd love it if you'd reached out to us after this call to get, so that we can kind of walk with you through this step by step if you're interested in that, and I'll give you that resource at the end. But for now, let's start with what has to happen here with your daughter. You know, when you go through something like this where somebody that you love does something so horrible and painful and hurtful, it's hard to process that. So it's helpful to help your daughter understand what love really means. To love somebody means to work for their good. It doesn't necessarily mean that we always feel affection toward that person. It doesn't always mean that the person always does the right thing. It means that we're always committed to trying to do our best to work for their good, whatever that means. And the reason I point that out is because it's going to be important to also, since your husband has cheated serially, to recognize that this is an addiction, that your husband, you know, this is not just a kind of a, you know, an unfortunate situation that happened one time on a business trip where he got, you know, had too much to drink or something, which is unforgivable to begin with. But we're talking about something that's much, much more related in his character than just in his behavior, which is saying to me that this is your husband is a sex addict, essentially. And just like people can be addicted to drugs or alcohol, people can have behavioral addictions as well. And it sounds to me like this is something that your husband is struggling with. And to be able to frame this for yourself and your daughter as an addiction. And addictions come from a person not knowing how to face the challenges that they're experiencing in their life. And so they look for something that's going to make them feel better in the face of those challenges rather than dealing with those challenges. And the addict tends not to want to apologize for their addiction because for them, the addiction is the solution, right? Everything else is the problem. You know, I don't know how to deal with relationship. I don't know how to deal with stress. I don't know how to deal with the problems from my work or whatever. So I retreat into this drug or this behavior to help me cope with that. And when you tell me that I'm doing something wrong, I'm going to become defensive and angry because that's my solution. So another hallmark of addiction is addiction is a problem for everybody else except the addict, because for the addict it's the solution, and that's where you're getting this response from your husband from. And so helping your daughter understand that your husband, that her father is an addict in this way, and to understand that to love an addict means setting appropriate boundaries, that we can care for an addict, we can have affection for the addict, but we also need to recognize their limitations and that we need to set appropriate boundaries with them so that they can't hurt us, and so that we can have a, to the degree that we are able, have a healthier relationship with them and really process this. This is something that, you know, is that, just to be clear, you are not at fault for in any way. You know, again, like we were talking about with our previous caller, you know, Diane's sister was blaming herself for her husband's behavior, for his cheating. And, you know, the reality is there are lots of marriages that have problems. Not all of those marriages end in infidelity. And the reason that somebody cheats really has nothing to do with the marriage. It has everything to do with the fact that 9 times out of 10, the cheater doesn't know how to deal with conflict effectively, doesn't know how to express their needs appropriately, doesn't know how to advocate for their concerns or express or deal with feelings in a healthy way. And so they repress all that stuff until they get depressed. And then they find somebody that makes them feel better. And so in a sense, they self-medicate for an undiagnosed depression using that infidelity. And the sex addict, even more so. And so really kind of in age-appropriate ways, helping your daughter understand this, that she can still love her dad, but that recognizing that her dad has some very serious addiction problems that prevent him from being able to love you, his, you know, her mother and her, the way you guys deserve to be loved. And I think that's one of the reasons I started off by saying it's going to be important to work with a faithful professional to help you navigate all of this, to kind of unpack what that means to be in a relationship with an addict as a father, as an ex-husband, and know what it means moving forward to be healthy yourselves in the face of that. So we have to go to break, but if there's more that we can do to support you in this, if what I'm sharing with you is kind of checking some boxes and helping you get a different perspective on this, and you'd like to work with us, I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to follow up on this call. But I hope that these suggestions, these ideas and insights will help set you on a path to being able to understand what you're going through a little bit better and explain this to your daughter a little bit better, too. I'm so sorry for the pain that you're going through, and if there is more that we can do to support you through that and help you both find healing, actually both of your daughters find healing, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Thank you so much for the call, and thank you for tuning in. And we are taking your calls today on our show titled Betrayed as we commemorate this Spy Wednesday, the day that Judas betrayed Jesus. Has someone you care about hurt you, let you down, or betrayed you in some way? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. And as we go to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Luke chapter 22, verse 48.
But Jesus said to him, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?
And I chose this verse, again, obviously because we are reflecting on the readings of Judas betraying Jesus, but also as a reminder that regardless of the pain that we're in, Jesus understands that and is walking with us through that. And when you have been hurt by betrayal, the first thing that I would encourage you to do is to go to God and say, Lord, show me how to respond to this in a way that allows me to be my best self, in a way that challenges the person who hurt me to be their best selves, in a way that glorifies you. And let him lead you step by step through that betrayal, through the cross, to the resurrection that comes after the cross in your life. With that, we have to take a break, but when we come back, more with your calls on our show titled Betrayed, 877-573.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and our show today is titled Betrayed, as we commemorate this Spy Wednesday of Holy Week, the day that we reflect on the readings of Judas's betrayal of Jesus. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Laura, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nevada.
Hi, Laura. Welcome to More to Life.
Hello. My question is about how to set a boundary with my husband, who is a habitual liar.
Can you give me an example of what he might lie about?
Sometimes they're just inconsequential things, but they are lies, and sometimes they're more serious. But the most recent example was I was sitting with our two grandchildren, and it was inconvenient for me to get up. They were laying on top of me. One was sick. And they had asked for some food, two food items. And my husband was sitting next to me. And I said, would you mind getting these two food items for the kids? He seemed a little annoyed. And he said, in a minute. And then he proceeded to get up. And he came back with only one of the food items. And the kid said, oh, where's the strawberries? And my husband said, oh, there aren't any. So we just said, okay. And so then later in the evening, I was putting things away, and I came across a large carton of strawberries. And I said, did you see these? Did you know that these were here? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, then why did you say there weren't any? And he said, well, because I just didn't think they needed to have any. And I'm like, well, you could have just said that. Just said, I think this is enough. And so anyway, this is an example. It's like such a small, inconsequential thing, but it is a lie. So I'm just beside myself. I don't know how to respond.
And does he also lie about things of greater consequence that, you know, really kind of impact the marriage?
Yes. Yes, he has. He has.
Okay. So when you're talking about this, you know, generally speaking, a person who lies like this was raised in a household where it wasn't safe to tell the truth, where there was a lot of shame and a lot of blame, and it wasn't that mom and dad were going to help me learn to do better. It was they wanted to pin something on somebody and then give them a punishment for it, and it wasn't safe to be honest. And you know, Claire, you mentioned that your grandparents, so I'm assuming that you guys have been together for quite some time. You know, so I recognize that this is an old wound. But I think that the answer to this is twofold. First, where it's possible to make it safe for him to let him know that it's safe to tell the truth. For example, in this situation, because it's a simpler thing. I mean, it would be a different story if he was talking about, you know, having spent thousands of dollars or something without you knowing, or cheated on you or something like that. But with something like this, to be able to give him a hug and say, honey, I love you, I really do, but I need you to just be honest. And it's okay. It's okay for you to just come and say, you know, we didn't have any strawberries. You know, I mean, that sounds
or
silly.
Or to say, I just don't think they need it right now. Or whatever it is that you're feeling.
But to hold him close and to say, I love you, and I understand how hard it is for you to just say what needs to say the truth, but it's okay, and nobody's going to be mad at you for telling the truth. Now, that's a very simple thing to do, and it's not going to cure the whole problem. It's going to start to let him know that it's safe to be honest with you. But I do think that you're going to need some professional support here to heal this deeper childhood wound that he has, because this is a reactive thing. It's he does it for even the smallest things, and so this is not something that he's consciously aware of. And so working with a professional to heal that deeper wound. Now, he might not be willing to go. If that's the case, then you go ahead and start working with a professional to figure out how you can respond differently to this.
Yes, because it's about responding very differently than just reacting, whether that reaction is holding it in or just getting so frustrated that you're saying things.
And the boundary you set with him is going to be different based on the lie that he's telling. Mm-hmm. I mean, so for something as simple as this, what I suggested will work. For something more complicated, like him spending money that you didn't know he was spending, or going someplace that you didn't know he was going, or any of those sorts of things, that's going to require a different kind of a consequence or a different kind of a boundary. But, you know, the bottom line in all those cases is going to be trust but verify. You know, you can't take him at his word. And so if you assume that you cannot take him at his word in general, how would you respond differently? He's going to be offended by that. But then you come back and say, well, look, I have to act this way because I can't trust you to say what's true and what's honest. And that's the kind of boundary that you're going to need to set. But the specifics of that are going to vary based on the circumstances. And that's why I'd really love for you to be working with somebody on an ongoing basis to understand what that would look like dependent on the circumstances. If you'd like to work with us, you can learn more by visiting CatholicCounselors.com. And we can help connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform the situation.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.